And so I've been praying that, and I pray this just about every Sunday, but that this morning, that no matter where you're coming from, no matter what you were doing on your way here today or what your week was like, that you would get a little taste and a glimpse of how much God cares for you today. Like how much he's invested in you as a person. How much he delights to look at you and to see you and to be with you. And to just get a little taste of how much God loves you today. So that's my prayer, that we would all experience a little bit of God's love today. Now, speaking of love, do you remember what it was like to fall in love with something? Like maybe it was a particular band or artist, or maybe it was a hobby, maybe it was an instrument that you were learning, or something like hiking or reading. Like you fell in love with something, and I think that the best / worst example, and I know because I've done this myself, is a new pet. That you have a new pet and you love this new pet so much, and everyone you talk to gets to hear all about your new pet. And you love this new pet so much, or so you found something that you just have this affection and this love for, and it fills you with a joy and a thrill, and you want to tell everyone about it. Or maybe you remember what it was like to fall in love with someone, maybe even someone who loved you back. I remember being 15 years old when Christina and I started dating. She was way out of my league, and my friends reminded me of that often. And the thing was is that the more time we spent together, the more time I wanted to spend with her. Like, there just weren't enough hours in the day. Like, I couldn't get enough of how much time I wanted to spend with her. Everything else in my life took a back seat. Like, my other friends, my family, who are they? They don't matter. My bank account, we'll spend that all on her, no problem. Like, sleep, who needs sleep anymore? I found someone that I want to be with, and that's what it was like when we first started dating. And we didn't have to be doing anything special or amazing, it was just being together. I had a landline in my room, it was the 90s, and I remember we would sometimes call each other to say goodnight. And sometimes when we would call, that like 5-minute conversation would turn into an hour. Or 2 or 3. I remember a couple of times even falling asleep to listening to her breathe on the other side of the phone. And just like that was the best. Just being together, right? Yeah, thanks. Falling in love with someone is really, really special. And I think that this new love feeling, this kind of passionate, persistent, all-consuming, affectionate love is a good picture of the type of love that Jesus has for you. That God loves you with a love that is intense, but is also tender, and it's soft, and it sees the best in who you are. And I think that God, like a new love, is waiting and longing to simply be with you. I believe that God is consumed with love for you. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon that says, "Believe me, if you have but a spark of desire after Christ, he has a whole furnace of desire after you." I love this. Friends, if we have but a small spark of desire for Christ, he sees that and accepts it and loves that and cherishes it, and he wants to meet you with a whole furnace of love in return. So as we begin talking about love today, let's just pray and invite the Holy Spirit here. So Jesus, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you that even though we don't deserve it, that you have an entire furnace of love for us. What a gift it is to be loved by you. It really is a gift, and so we say thank you. And so today I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help each of us to get a glimpse, a taste, a feel for that love that you have for us. Spirit of God, open our eyes, our hearts, that we may be known by you and know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you think of all these things that you've loved over your life, whether it's sports or a band or movies or food or an instrument or a spouse, whatever it is, if we don't give these things our time and our attention and our affection, they have a tendency to fade over time. Like without attention to a relationship, like if you think back to the really close relationships you had 5, 10, 20 years ago, if you haven't spent time investing and time with that person, those relationships experience what I'm calling a slow cooling of love. Time and busyness, pain, distance, distractions, these things that get in the way, and even just growing older has led to a slow cooling of love for things that we once cared about. And I think that it's kind of weird because love is a weird word, right? Like, the love that we have for a spouse or a family or for a good friend is very different than the love we than if we have a slow cooling love for like a hobby or a sport or for something like hockey or running. Or a slow cooling of love, though, can happen to just about anything that we love. It can even happen with our relationship and affection for God. So today, a lot of people in this room have been following Jesus for a long time. And if that is you, I want you to think about, like, do you remember the first time you knew you were loved by God? Like, try and think back. Like, I know that for me, I remember the first time I experienced God's love was when I was in youth group. I was probably about 13 or 14, and I just remember being on a hill with my youth group, and it doesn't even matter what we were doing, but I just remember for the first time being like, God is real, and he loves me, and it was the best. What was it like for you? Maybe you were a small child, and you saw the faith of your parents, and what a big deal Jesus was to them. Maybe that's when you first experienced God's love. Or maybe for you, your first encounter with God's love was at a summer camp or when you were in Sunday school or in youth group or on a retreat. Maybe the first time you experienced God's love and presence was in worship, when you were pouring your heart out to God and you were just filled with the closeness and nearness of God. A lot of people love doing things like a gap year program like Cape and Ray or YWAM or a missions trip. Like, do you remember doing that and just like the passion and the enthusiasm you had for your faith? Or maybe it was when God did something powerful in your life, some restorative work where he stepped in and changed something for you. Do you remember that love that you had at first? I want to tell you about a church in the city of Ephesus almost 2,000 years ago. This church in Ephesus was a strong church. If you're familiar with the Bible, there were a lot of people that attended this church that you would know just from reading the Bible. The Apostle Paul was the planter of this church, and so he was their first pastor. John, who was one of Jesus' disciples, he was also a pastor there until he was imprisoned. Priscilla and Aquila, they were missionaries at this church. And Timothy, who has a couple letters in the New Testament written to him, he was a pastor in Ephesus. And even Mary, Jesus' own mother, is believed to have spent time in Ephesus and attended this church. Like, so it's a pretty important church. Like, A-list of people who attended there. Like, think about what that'd be like to go to church with people that, like, actually hung out with Jesus. You could be, like, sermon on water into wine. You could lean over and be like, John, how good was that wine? Like, notes of what? What kind of notes are we talking about in that wine? Or you could, like, talk to Paul in the foyer after church and be like, Paul, you were literally blinded by Jesus and heard his voice speak to you. Like, what was his voice like? What, was it a big booming voice like we think God has? Or, like, what was Jesus' voice actually like? Or maybe Mary's in your life group and you could be like, Mary, as a toddler, as a teenager, was Jesus annoying? Like, did he smell like a middle school boy at one point? Like, what was it like raising Jesus? What was that like? So being a part of the church of Ephesus was literally having a front row seat to the person of Jesus. Even though that this city was filled with idol worship and the emperor had a temple there where he forced people to worship him, even though there was a lot of wickedness in the city, this church in Ephesus was strong. Listen to what Jesus says to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. At the beginning of Revelation, Jesus speaks to seven different churches, and he has a word or a note or a message for each of them. And this is the message that he has for Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 2. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and done and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Like, this is an amazing church. They loved to do the work of Jesus. They persevered. They corrected false teachers and they endured hardships because of Jesus' name. But then in the very next verse, Jesus says this in verse 4. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Ouch. You have forsaken the love you had at first. The King James Version says, thou hast left thy first love. So how could this happen? How could a church that is so solid, that has people that walked literally with Jesus, that knew him as their friend, how could this church lose their first love? Even though we don't know exactly how it happened, I have a pretty good guess how it actually happened, because I know I have felt the slow cooling of love over time. I felt it, and maybe you have too. See, following Jesus is not all mountaintop experiences. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes I can feel distance from God, and that can feel frustrating or disappointing. Sometimes I get just distracted, like September is really busy and there's a lot going on. It's really easy to get distracted with other things, to be consumed by other things. And when our focus and our attention wanes, we can feel distance from God. Now, a side note here, this might not describe you right now. Like, you might be like, no, me and Jesus, like, this is the best it's ever been, and I have this passion and this burning desire for God, and that's great. Like, I don't want to diminish that, and I really hope that this sermon today and that this series that we're launching today isn't an accusation, but is an invitation to return to our first love, an invitation to rekindle our first love, to nurture our first love, to renew that. And that's why we've called the sermon series that we're doing for 8 weeks in fall, First Love. Now, I want you to think of your life today, like right now, your relationship with Jesus. I don't know if you want to rate it out of 10, or maybe that's a bad idea, but what's your relationship like with Jesus right now? Now, think back to when you first met Jesus. If you've been following Jesus for a long time, think back to what it was like when you first met him. And it's not necessarily the case, but it's common. I see it a lot as a pastor, and I've experienced it in my own life, when sometimes it feels like we're just going through the motions, or that our faith has hit kind of a cruise control, where it's like, yeah, it's good. We're just cruising along here. But the passion, the enthusiasm has faded. Maybe it's not necessarily that you've rejected or turned your back on God, but we've just become consumed or distracted by other things. It's like we're missing something that we once had. Or maybe you've been doing this Christian thing for a while, and people talk about this passion and this love and excitement for God, and you're like, oh, I've never had that. Like, maybe everyone else gets that but me. If there's any way in which some of that resonates with you, that God might have something fuller for you in your faith, something more intimate, something deeper or richer, a more authentic experience with Jesus, then I believe this sermon series is for you. I know it's for me. So what do we do when we take a step back and we reflect on our love for God, and it's like, oh, maybe I am sliding into that cold obedience? We're actually called to just rekindle our love. Like, we're going to be talking about this a fair bit over the next 8 weeks, what it means to rekindle our love for God. And this doesn't mean just doing more church, right? Like, we have 100 things for you to sign up for after church today, and that's not what it is. But hopefully each one of those is an avenue and a road, not to be busy with church, but to connect with the life-changing power of Jesus, to get to know the person of Jesus more. Quick story. A number of years ago, when I was still the youth pastor at North Langley, we started discussing whether or not I would plant our next campus. And we were kind of having some discussions whether or not, like, we would even do a third campus. And long before we knew it would be Aldergrove, or before Bethel entered the conversation, like, it was kind of like, maybe Kevin will do it, maybe he won't. Let's discern that together. They sent me to something called a church planter's assessment. Now, if anyone ever invites you to a church planter's assessment, don't go. It was awful. I did not like it at all. It was intense. And there were, I think, 6 or maybe 8 of us that were considering planting a church. And it was, if I remember right, 4 days long. And there were about 30 high-level Christian leaders from the Lower Mainland assessing us and critiquing us and being very critical. Like, they didn't pull any punches. And I remember at one point, I was before a panel of these leaders, and they were tearing apart my strategic plan for how I'd plant a church. And this is what one of them said to me. He said, Kevin, I'm worried that you love church more than you love Jesus. And I remember kind of feeling very offended and also very hurt. You think that I love church more than I love Jesus? Now, what I think he was asking me was, if I love Jesus more than the community I experienced in church, did I love Jesus more than the programs I got to be involved in church, did I love Jesus more than the worship that my church offered, or the preaching that I heard, or the social aspect, or the serving aspect, like, was I busy doing church but missing Jesus? And I think that that's a similar warning to that Jesus gives the church in Ephesus. You're doing all these great things, but you have forsaken the love you had at first. And again, this might not be you. This might not be where you are. But I know that as a church, we're less than 2 years old. Awesome thing about our church being a young church is that every single one of us who is here, who attends here, who calls this place home, made a conscious decision to attend church here and for this to be our church family within the last 2 years. Now, I don't know what brought you here. Like, you maybe are here because someone you know was already coming here and they invited you. Or you might be here because you love a 9 or 11 o'clock service time. Or maybe you're here because you just feel at home when you walk in this building. Or maybe you have connected to one of our programs. Maybe you love the worship or the preaching that happens here. But I hope the most significant reason why you're here is none of those things, but because you believe this to be a place where you can grow closer to Jesus. A place where you're able to fan the flame in your heart for the love of God. A place where you can nurture and grow the passion and the excitement that you have for Jesus. Or that it's a place where you can rekindle your love for God. I mean, this can be fun. Doing church together is so fun. I've had a blast this last couple of years, and I hope you have as well. Like, this has been so much fun. But let's take this fall to kind of just take a little step back and assess if we're doing church for the right reasons. Like, are we doing church just to be busy with church, or are we connecting to the life-changing power of Jesus? Are we falling more in love with the person of Jesus? So this fall, we're going to talk about renewing or rekindling our love for Jesus a lot. What does it mean to rekindle our love? Now, when a fire's dying, I don't know if you got to go camping this summer, and not a propane fake fire, but like a real wood fire, right? And you're sitting around that real wood fire, and it's amazing, and there's the crackle, and it's dark, and it's awesome. Now, when you feed that fire, and it kind of grows into a flame, it's amazing. It gives off heat. It's great for conversation. Everyone loves sitting around a fire, right? But when that fire starts to die down and there's just embers left, you can just kind of sit there and be like, oh man, I sure miss that fire. That fire was the best, but we're never getting a fire that good again, so let's not even try, right? Or if you just kind of leave that fire alone and time goes by, or it starts to rain, or it gets cold, or it just runs out of fuel, like, you can just sit there and kind of look and wish and dream about the good old days when that fire was burning bright, or you can rekindle it. You can put more fuel on the fire. Aldergrove, is it time to rekindle our love for Jesus? Like, this fall, we want to throw so much kindling and fuel on the fire that the embers of our soul just kind of grow into this mighty blaze and would burn with love and passion for Jesus. That our love for the Father would be reignited. That we would know more of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that we would experience the joy of returning to our first love. There's a phrase by Nietzsche that was kind of repurposed by Pastor Eugene Peterson, and it's a really helpful way of understanding what it means to follow Jesus. And it goes, following Jesus is a long obedience in the same direction. I think this is a really great phrase. It is helpful when we walk through difficult times in our journey. I've experienced times in my journey where I need to be reminded to stay consistent, to stay faithful, to keep putting one foot in front of the other in my journey with Jesus, to not abandon him because life is hard or things didn't go the way I want to. In difficult seasons, a quote like this is really important. I love this quote, but I don't think it's enough. And I don't think it's the goal of faith. Like married couples, if you're married, is this an inspiring quote for your marriage? Marriage is a long obedience in the same direction. And to be honest, it's kind of like, yeah, okay. Like, stay faithful, stay true, stay committed. Like, marriage is a marathon. Stick with it. Absolutely. I think this is a great quote for marriage. But we know it's not the goal of marriage. The goal is love. The goal is intimacy. The goal is to be known and to know someone. We long for nearness and friendship and to be known by our spouse. Marriages are called to rekindle their love many times throughout the course of a marriage. And in premarital counseling, I tell couples, I'm like, okay, here you are right now and you love each other and you're getting married and that's amazing. But in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, you're going to be completely different people than you are right now. You need to choose to fall in love with this person again and again. And when they change into someone new, fall in love with that person. Don't just love who they were on your wedding day. Love who they are now and love who they are becoming. It's something that's intentional. We have to return to our love by giving them our time, our prioritizing them and listening to them. Christine and I started our relationship just wanting spending every moment together, just listening to each other breathe and as we fall asleep. And trust me, that's not how it is anymore because she does not like listening to me breathe as she's falling asleep. Our entire marriage hasn't been that. But even in our great marriage, real life has happened. Like, we've experienced our fair share of pain and hurt and disappointment and stress and heartache and illness and fear and all the stuff that life throws at us. There have been seasons where marriage has felt like a long obedience in the same direction. I don't know if we totally get to escape that or not. I don't know. But I do know that in 27 years of marriage, that this has never been my goal. A couple years ago, our 25th wedding anniversary was approaching. And Christina said, for our 25th anniversary, let's go to the church that we got married. It was Zion Lutheran Church, now I think it's Hillside in Cloverdale. Let's go there. Let's renew our wedding vows and invite some of our close family and friends to be there with us. And I'm kind of a grouch. I was like, that sounds cheesy and lame. Let's not do that. And she won. And so we did there. And to be honest, I was really wrong. Because this day ended up being one of the most significant days in my marriage. Here's a picture of us on our wedding day and a picture of us renewing our wedding vows 25 years later. It was, like I said, one of the most significant moments in our marriage because our vows meant so much more to me 25 years later after having lived them for 25 years. These words had a whole nother layer of meaning, for better or for worse. Yeah, we experience that, for richer or for poor. Yep. In sickness and in health. Yep. To love, be faithful to, and to cherish. And I remember bawling as I read these vows. Like, I remember crying so much that day. Because after they had been battle-tested, these vows meant infinitely more 25 years later. They represented how meaningful our relationship was to me. And we actually did this at a time when our marriage kind of felt like a long obedience in the same direction. Like, if I'm being honest, it was 1 month before we launched this church. And I don't know if you've ever launched a church, but it's stressful and tiring. And I was probably more burnt out than I've ever been in my life at this time. It was also before Christina had some really life-changing surgery, and her chronic health issues were at their peak during that time. It was really difficult on us personally as well as our marriage. But this day, this vow renewal was a return to the beginning, a renewal of our love for each other, a reminder of why I loved her so much and why our marriage means so much to me. Our vow renewals was a rekindling of our love for each other, and it was a reminder of where we've come from, what we've been through, and what our relationship is worth to us. For me, it was a call back to my first love. So this fall, with our sermon series, I hope we can do something similar, to kind of come back to the beginning with Jesus, to remember how it started and remind ourselves what following Jesus is all about. So the next 7 weeks are going to be kind of a highlight reel from some of the most significant sermon series that we've had at North Langley over the last handful of years. We're going to talk about how do I share my faith, how do I pray, how do I worship, how do we do life together in community. But we're not just going to talk about how we do these things. We're going to talk about why we do them. And hopefully the why isn't just from a place of cold obedience, but it's a rekindling of our passion and our love for Jesus. Because I think it's possible to do all the Christian things while still experiencing a slow cooling of love. But let's not settle for only that. Like, obedience is really important. Obedience is key. It's crucial to our faith with Jesus, but it's not the goal, right? It's love. Okay, let me try and make this clear. I believe that your, and I'm actually going to say our closest years of following Jesus are not behind us. They're in front of us, right? Like, when we think back to the love that we had at first, sometimes we can get stuck thinking, oh, that was great, and I'll never get that back again. But I want you to know that the best days, the most intimate days you have of following Jesus were not back at Cape and Ray or YWAM or on that mission trip or when you did Bible school or when you were involved in that great Bible study. Your best years of following Jesus aren't from your time in youth group or summer camp or from that conference that you attended. Your most amazing years of following Jesus aren't from that awesome church that you used to attend, or when you had that amazing pastor, that awesome Christian spiritual mentor or leader. They're not from that amazing program that had so much success at one point in your life. I believe your closest years of following Jesus are in front of you, that they're still coming, that God invites us into those years right now. Do we believe that? I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as I tell you a story about a friend of mine I have named Jason Ballard. Some of you might know Jason Ballard. He was a youth pastor at CLA in Langley for a long time. We were youth pastors at the same time, and we got to know each other then. He actually planted a church in Vancouver called The Way. If any of you move to Vancouver, you should go to The Way. It's an awesome church. But in the meantime, hang out here. We love having you here. But last week, Jason posted a video on his Instagram of visiting his 95-year-old grandpa in the hospital after he had suffered a stroke. He was recovering from the stroke, and Jason said in one of his posts, he said that his grandfather had just read the story about the blind man who received his sight. And he said, I was blind, but now I see. And that his grandfather kept kind of breaking off into these mini sermons throughout his visit with him, where he just couldn't stop talking about his love for Jesus and how amazing God is and how awesome it is that God loves us. And this is what Jason wrote about his grandpa. Here's a picture of them together. In this post, Jason said, my grandpa, my father's father, 95 years old, days after a stroke, full of joy. Jason said, he preached my ear off on God's goodness, on living in God's will and God's timing, no fear in death, and how to not be arrogant. Deeply treasure this heritage of faith. One of the things I've learned from Grandpa is that, now get this, Jason says, if you have an open heart to God's work in your life, he will keep making you more and more like himself until the very end. I love that. Grandpa Ballard, I think, is an example of someone who has never lost his first love, who has rekindled that flame again and again. And I believe that he has never been as close to Jesus as he is right now in that hospital bed. I want to have faith like that. I want to be continuously molded and transformed more into the image of Christ by his radical, boundless, and intense love for me. And I hope that in doing so, it increases my love for him. That's my prayer and my desire for all of us at Aldergrove. I'm going to just ask if we could turn out the lights and just leave the cross light on for a second here. And to remember that the ultimate, most clear demonstration of love ever shown to us was the work that Jesus did on the cross. The cross of Jesus is the epicenter of our faith in God. And so to rekindle our love for God, we reflect on the cross and the extravagant love that Jesus has for you and for me. 1 John 4 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So friends, I encourage you to just reflect on the cross. This is where God displayed his love for you even when you were broken in sin. This is where we are freed from the powers of darkness and shame. This is where we are made new. This is the place where God himself laid his life down for you. And so today we pray to know and experience God's love in all its fullness. I invite you to pray with me. Father God, we long for more of you, and we admit that we don't always feel that. Like, we know we should, but but there are times when we don't feel it. And so we ask, God, that you would give us the desire to desire more of you. We ask that you would fill us with your love and your presence in real tangible ways. God, may our most intimate days with you not be behind us, but right now and growing. Let us taste your goodness. Create in us a hunger and a thirst for more and more of you. So Holy Spirit, revive the embers of cold hearts. Revive the embers of my heart. And may my love for you burn bright. In Jesus' name, amen.